So we got to get to the big loss in like 2 seconds here, but we will. We somehow got on the conversation in the break about the fact that, like, when I was dating, I avoided every Elizabeth in the world because that's my mom's name. Kristen's too. Dated like 17 Katies, but no Kristens. They were on the no-fly list because it just wasn't working for me. At which point, Mac Robinson said he dated or he went on a date with Mackenzie. And I honestly think that might be the most narcissistic thing you can do is marry somebody with your same name.
Like, it's the Mac and Mac show.
I was thinking you just refer to yourself as the Mackenzie Robinsons. Like, you just pluralize your name instead, because you're no longer like you. There's no, you're going to just become one gelatinous blob of a human being if you have the same name. There's not going to be no, hey, Mac, hey, Mackenzie. Like, people are going to have different nicknames for you.
That'd be a scary thing.
216-474-0092. I'm throwing this out there. It's not the full segment. I do want to hear from you on this, though. At Nick Wilson says, do you know anyone who married someone with the same name? Also, Nicole's were a tough sell as well. Nick and Nicole, that's too damn cutesy here. But from cutesy to ouchies, Alex Wright posted on his Instagram that he has a bicep tear and he's out for the rest of the season. I never thought I'd say this 2 years ago. I do think for a rotation-based defense, and especially up front, this is a really tough loss for the Cleveland Browns.
This is a huge loss. And anytime you have somebody like McKinney or Alex Wright, you have to look at what's behind him. There's a lot of guys behind him right now that don't have the reps or the snaps or even the tenure. So losing a gentleman like this on the end is going to be a tough sell on the defense.
Well, what I think is toughest about it is, of all the guys, because one of the things I love about Schwartz is he loves to kick guys inside, even undersized guys. Like Za'Darius Smith's like 260. That is mighty undersized to play inside, but he's so good at rushing up the middle that it most of the time it doesn't hurt him, except maybe in the run game occasionally like we've been seeing recently. But the right thing, Wright is a legit, you know, like 290 pounds. So he's big off the edge, and he's big enough to be an interior guy as well. You don't have a lot of guys that can kick in from the outside that have that kind of size.
No, and we heard Schwartz talk about, you know, Isaiah McGuire coming in. He's going to get a chance to get some reps. He's got to step in right away. And this defense, you know, when you look at the secondary, playing off and slouching a little bit, that line is going to take a toll.
So when Miles came down with the feet, Achilles, and thigh injury 2 weeks ago, when it finally was disclosed it's not just a foot, it's feet. Oh, and by the way, there's two more things going on here. I sounded the alarms. I said, Hassan Reddick's out there with the Jets. Go get him. I'll be honest, I'm going to double down on that. Maybe not even Hassan, although I think that's the best player out there. I think if the Browns are buyers at the deadline, I think specifically on the D-line, they have got to find another pass rusher of a specific ilk, because Za'Darius hasn't gotten home a lot this year. Oboe hasn't gotten home a lot. Up the middle, it feels like the pressure. It's not that the pressure is non-existent. You're just not seeing them, you know, make an impact and push quarterbacks back or out as much. I think right now, I'll be honest with you, even if it's a little early to decide whether you're a buyer or seller, I would not hate if they got aggressive and went out there and picked up another lineman. And not just another lineman, but a lineman of substance.
Well, the D-line right now, they're a step behind the offensive line when they're playing up against them. And that's the only reason that you're seeing Miles do anything with him, right? He's the star of that defensive line. He's going in and doing his part. Unfortunately, the other guys in that interior, they're not getting in like you just mentioned. And on the other side, now that you lose Alex Wright, that's a big loss.
So do you think, because to me, it's not just about losing Alex Wright. Although, again, I think he's kind of one of those glue defensive linemen that you can kind of move him anywhere. And he's also an ascending player, which helps. I think people might say tackle, people might say O-line, people might say wide receiver like Davante Adams. We had that conversation. Or this position, that position. I think a clear need right now is you got to find another pass rusher. I think that's number one, above anything.
Well, it would help Myles Garrett big time, right? Because we know that he's reeling right now from some injuries. Yes, he played last weekend. He looked good last weekend, right? He didn't practice earlier this week. Now we look at this weekend, and you lose a player of Alex Wright's caliber. Now you're leaning even more so on Myles Garrett. And even, you know, for me, maybe a Ward with cornerback. So for me, looking at the interior, I'm still going to go offensive line because we saw Deshaun Watson do his part last weekend. Maybe he's starting to find out his rhythm. So you might be able to piece together the D-line, but for me, offensive line gives Deshaun Watson better opportunities.
I think the only thing is you just have to be patient with the O-line. Like, you have to, like, Conklin and Wills give you options at both tackle spots. Teller's only, 3 weeks left in the PUP if he's ready to come back. I know Posick has been hurt up. He's been hurt. But he's been able to play, you know, with occasional Nick Harris's. Like, I think you just have to be patient with the O-line. I think with the defensive line, the guys you got aren't going to get it. And like, I just don't think you have anybody close to Miles that can make that kind of difference. And now you've got one less rotational. Respectfully, with the O-line, I think the answers are coming. You just got to be patient.
If you can't wait that long, though, if you're not scoring points like you're accustomed to, you know, yes, we don't have a running game right now, but if that O-line isn't giving you a chance because they are hurt and they're on the mash factory right now, you've got to give Deshaun a chance to continue to heal and start showing what he's supposed to be a caliber of.
So the other thing with this is it's not just about – because, again, I'm just going to say it. Like, I think Jack Conklin could come back this Sunday if he's your left tackle and all of a sudden we're feeling different about the offensive line. The other thing is I don't think it's just talent. Like, I think some of this is guys are adapting to what they're being asked to do. So some of this is the guys that you have just have to play better. I do think, like, I felt this way about the D-line. It didn't hurt you last year. You've got two legitimate guys who, if you needed to go every down, could. It's Dalvin and it's Miles. Za'Darius, I think, is a part-time player at this point in his career. Oboe, rotational, Hurst, Jefferson, Harris, McGuire, like, none of those guys right now are every down players. You don't need them like that in this scenario, but when you start lopping off depth guys, that is when you have to start playing those other guys, the true starters. And if you only have two, I think that's one. I always kind of thought they were one starter short, hoping Za'Darius could come up. It hasn't happened to this point. And I think the problem of the O-line is a little bit of injuries, a little bit of what they're being asked to do, and a little bit guys just not getting the damn job done. I think that's why, like, I don't know if you trade for somebody tomorrow. And here's the other thing. I don't know the O-lineman that's available. But even if you traded for that guy tomorrow, I don't know if he fixes it. Because the biggest problems are communication, picking up blitzes, putting out blitzes, the stuff that, quite frankly, for a veteran offensive line is just embarrassing.
Well, the offensive line, yes, they're in disarray right now, and they are being asked to do different things that they're probably not accustomed to, but you still have to score points. You know, you can. I'm not going to say pace together a defensive line, because you can't, but you still have to be able to put up some points offensively.
216-474-0092. Is the Browns' number one need right now a impact defensive lineman difference maker? I honestly felt this way when Miles got hurt. I just think the Alex Wright thing reaffirms it. I think the wide receivers, I actually think the wide receivers and the O-lines, which I think a lot of people are going to say, I think it's the same bit. Do your damn job. And I hate to be that guy because I know their job's tougher than my job. So it's much easier for my fat ass to say, do your job, than it is for them to do their job. It's the NFL. It's tough. But, like, the problem in the NFL most of the time is a lot of dudes come to the NFL, they're not ready. You shouldn't have that. Posick, veteran. Even Harris, that's a 4 or 5 year veteran. I know Zinter's the lone rook, but, like, DeJuan Jones, this is year two. You know, James Hudson, I think this is year four. So, like, at some point there does, like, I think the blanket statement we use for a lot of things is, well, just play better. But I heard the morning show have a conversation today where we delusional about the Browns. That is so letting these guys off the hook. Like, was some of last year's 11-win season, did they get some good breaks? Yeah. They also were great. They also had great chemistry. They played from the right way. They played the right way. When they got behind, the game wasn't over. Those are like little things that show that you've got like enough glue guys. You've got the right guys in the locker room. It's the same damn locker room. And I get that it's tough to go, you didn't really have any practice time because how football works now from January to September, when all of a sudden you're expected to go back out on the field. If you're saying this is injuries at certain points, corner, it ain't about injuries. It's about execution. We up on the offensive line, it's about execution. Wide receivers, it's about execution. Right now, I think what you're seeing is teams know I can throw so quick because all I need to do is distract Miles and nobody else is going to get home. I think people have figured out if we just get the ball out quick enough that and we can allow ourselves to negate Miles, there's no pressure from one of the other three places consistent enough to push our quarterback off the spot.
Well, and that's going to be tough this weekend, right? And Jaden Daniels is very quick with doing that right now. That's the reason that they're 3-1. And so, you know, ultimately when you're looking at it from a defensive perspective, maybe that's something where, you know, on the defensive line, you have to, I don't know, maybe stunt a little bit more, maybe play off instead of playing a 4-3, maybe change that up a little bit. I know that they're accustomed to doing that on a regular basis, but you have to change something. Blitz a little bit more. Cause some havoc with Jaden Daniels.
I think my philosophy, and listen, I know teams are blitzing more now.
They are.
Than they have in forever. Like, we're seeing, and the Giants did that. Like, yeah, Burns and Thibodeau put a lot of pressure on the Browns, but I mean they just threw everything from Shane Bowen at Deshaun Watson. So I know that the NFL is blitz happy. I'm telling you, by the time you get to the playoffs, the recipe for beating great quarterbacks is the same damn thing. All right? Yes, exotic blitzes have to be a part of it. No. The number one way you beat those quarterbacks late in the season and into the playoffs, it is you rush four and you get home with four so you can drop seven in coverage.
Well, but if you're dropping seven in coverage right now, you can't play 10 yards off.
Well, but
you can't play soft.
So we're at a point here. We're at like a nexus point where you got to figure your out.
Right.
But at the same point, like, you can't let the now dictate your then. And I think that's where if you trade for O-line, you could end up having an O-lineman that's sitting on the sidelines if you get that you gave it up an asset for. Whereas if you trade for a significant pass rusher, not just a piece, but a significant pass rusher, you never really have too many of those. You only got five starting spots, and you don't rotate them on the offensive line. Whereas, especially with Jim Schwartz, you're talking 8 to 10 deep. And especially if you can push some of those guys down the depth chart, the Zadariuses, the Oboes, I think you're cooking with fire. And I think it prepares you more to play late in the season. I think that's more how you got to look at this. I agree with you right now. The O-line's like, how the hell are we going to win with this? At the same point, like, I'm thinking, like, the guys right now have to be the ones that stabilize the ship. And then the guys you trade for are going to be the guys that raise your ceiling. 216-474-0092. Alex Wright, done for the season. Miles Garrett, it's his feets. Not a foot, it's his feet. Do the Browns need to add another pass rusher ASAP? More from you guys, and maybe that time to sound the alarm for the defense conversation. Maybe it's time to have that one. Next on 92.3 The Fan. So, Jay, we were talking about this offense, and we're talking about the defense, we're talking about the needs for this team. And I don't know you and I have gotten into this because this came up during the Amari Cooper thing, but we had somebody in the break tweeted us. It was Cookie Monster. I don't think that's his legal name. I'll be honest with you. This might be a pseudonym. Saying, honestly, Nick, with this team we have on the field, can't get it together this year for a playoff run. The window is shut. It's time to sell for draft assets. Let the rebuild begin, and I'd let Andrew Berry be the guy to lead it. I know that this is a valid line of thinking and that certain Browns fans, actually, I think certain Browns fans might have written this team off before the season started, and so I think this is just confirmation bias. I know they crapped the bed against the easiest part of the schedule. I do. This, to me, is when we find out how good of a coach Kevin Stefanski is. Kevin has always started fast, right? He always has. This is the first time he's really, really, they've duked the bed with him as coach. So respectfully, hell no, I hate that mentality, man. Like, we are four games in. Figure it out. You got talent. This. I think it's delusional to think we were wrong that they're talented last year. No, they might, listen, might they have been a little over with what they should have been last year? Okay, but they're still a competitive team, whether they're a Super Bowl contender or not. Deshaun determines whether they're a Super Bowl contender. Their floor is determined by 52 other dudes. They need to do their job, and Deshaun needs to do his too. But this idea of, just sell, we shouldn't be talking about adding. I'm going to be like the fat violinist on the Titanic. I will be the last guy. Like, we're going to be buyers until I am knee deep and shark bait. All right. Until, like, I will be the fat lady. When I'm the fat lady, when I'm singing, then it's over.
Well, and I kind of relate this to the baseball side when you have injuries. So let's say a pitcher has Tommy John, he's coming back, or a pitcher has been hurt, offensive player's been hurt. When you look at this team right now in the Cleveland Browns, you have one of the best running backs in the NFL in Nick Chubb. He's on the practice field. We don't know what he's going to be, right? The unfortunate part, two major knee surgeries coming off of that. Does he have his step back? So I look at that as a trade piece right there, where he's coming in, and instead of going out and trying to get somebody else, there's your piece right there offensively.
So it's funny you say that, because that guy in Cleveland tweeted at us saying, well, our offense is already in a bad spot. It only makes sense to not have our defense there as well. Let's go get some help for our offense. All the money's on the offense. You've got the $30 million, $40 million quarterback. You've got a $12 million running back. You've got a $25 million wide receiver. You've got a top five tight end in money. You've got, you got guards making, $35 million combined this year? You got tackles. I mean, Jack Conklin's making serious cheddar. Jed Wills on the fifth-year option, fully guaranteed money. They've spent the money. You can't get any more money on the offense, and it is wildly disproportionate. On the defense, yes, you've got a lot of guys who are making some money, but mostly you got guys whose money haven't kicked in yet. And the problem is you're piecemealing. Like, again, follow money. The money's always the teller in football. When it looks at, they got a bunch of dudes on that defense on one-year deals. That, like, almost everybody on the offense, like Deshaun's got another 2 years after this, right? Amari's the one guy, but Judy, four-year deal, right? David Njoku, I think he's got three more years. Mm-hmm. Like, the guards have more money in the future. Even Jack Conklin, more money in the future. Posick, more money in the future. So the money's there. You've already spent the money on the offense. It's figure it the hell out.
Well, when you look at the defensive side, too, so you bring up, you know, the options of a lot of those guys have one-year contracts. They're playing for their food. They're playing for their lives right now. So you would expect the defense to be stronger than what it currently is after watching what they did last year. I'm not going to sell at all right now. Yes, they're 1-3, and it doesn't look bleak or good for them right now. It looks very bleak. You're going into a game this Sunday where we talked about it earlier yesterday that it could be a possible must win, but I'm not going to put it on them as a must win. Go play your positions, play hard, and see the outcome when it's all said and done.
I'm going to tell you right now, I think Coach Nick is coming out. I would be the softest coach in the world. I am such a B. I am. I'd be like, you guys feel good? High training? I'd be like Matt Foley. But here's the thing. I hope every defender on that team is listening, because this is not set out of dislike. It's actually set out of love. I want last year to be the real. I want last year where you were punishing. You weren't necessarily the most consistent, but where you went out there and you almost said inserted. We almost became a very different, no longer Coach Nick. It is raunchy Nick.
Late night Nick.
It is, nope, we're not going which Nick that is. Don't worry about that Nick, all right? Socks on, everybody. Now, that being said.
Socks on.
Yeah, more traction.
Okay.
That being said, I'm just going to look at this and say, I love these guys on defense. I don't doubt that they're good dudes. I am sick of watching this team give up touchdowns to slap-ass quarterbacks. Jaden Daniels is not a slap-ass. But you know what? Right now, in front of everybody and God, defense, every one of you, you're on fraud alert. That's where you guys are. You are on fraud alert because you've been dusted. And I don't give a damn. Oh, they only gave up 20 points to Gardner Minshew. The second best weapon. That kid is fast as hell. The kid from CVCA. Fast as hell. Don't care. He's not Devontae Adams. He cooked your ass, right? You made Malik Nabers look like the good Lord himself come down off high to catch a couple tutties because you were like, let's give him 15-yard cushion. So it's so funny because every week we're out here, Deshaun with this and blah, 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 blah. And those are valid questions. I'm on fraud alert. Show me you're not fraudulent. Because if you play the way that you play against Washington, the way you did against the Raiders and the Giants, you're losing by 30 touchdowns. 30 touchdowns, that's not. You're losing by.
You could be losing by 30 touchdowns.
You're losing by three tutties. So get your head out of your ass, play together, talk to each other, and figure it out. Like, I'm so done with this narrative that, well, the offense is hanging them out. The offense isn't missing tackles. The offense isn't forcing you to have the softest cushion and coverage in the damn NFL because you're afraid of getting beat over the top. The NFL, it's not talking about missed tackles or missed assignments. No. This is on the defense. So, like, that's where I am. Like, I always thought the offense was going to be a work in progress. I have some modicum of patience, even though some days it's tough to watch. But with the defense, I'm on fraud alert. Show me that I shouldn't be getting a text from PNC about fraud, a fraud alert from PNC on the Browns defense this weekend.
Well, we look at this always. You go into the playoffs, you try to win a Super Bowl. What does it come down to? Defense, defense, defense can stop any elite offense. That's what I'm looking at too.
Well, and that's the calling card of where you were. Like we focus on Deshaun because there's 230 million reasons.
Yeah.
And listen, there's egg on your face. There's egg on your face with Deshaun until you wipe it off or until the pieces come together and he actually plays like a $230 million man. I think we're close, but that's in a think. It's not an I know. But with the defense, I've seen it. I've seen you do it. And now I see a defense beating their chest. In this game, it's so funny. Listen, I respect the hell out of Jaden Daniels. Because it is so hard to be a rookie quarterback and come in and be this good, even for four games. Do not care. I don't care who the quarterback. Because if you can't dust a rookie, what are we doing sending out there 2 weeks later against Joe Burrow? Are you going to be the get-right game for Jalen Hurts? You mean the get-right game for Justin Herbert, where they finally throw more than 35 passes in a game? Like, that's, you know, to me this weekend, it's like it's a prove-it game. Like, prove it to me. Like, locate your stones. Make sure you still have them. Make sure these dogs ain't been neutered. And do the damn thing. That's to me, like, that's where I'm fired up about this weekend. Like, show me. Show me what you got. Because right now, through four games, I think you were on the train to getting to downtown Pound Town, and you're the one getting pounded, not doing it.
Or maybe getting neutered.
I don't like that. That would be bad.
Right?
Yeah, not for humans. Like, do you see this as a prove-it game, though?
I do. I think this is one of those big moments, you know, in the season when it could go either way. You go out, you prove yourself defensively. You have the offense step up a little bit, maybe get a little bit of a running game going. But defensively, if you can shut down, and I'm not going to call Jaden Daniels an elite quarterback yet. He's shown four games. He's looked very nice. You know, he stays in the pocket, gets rid of the football quickly. The biggest key now is how quickly can that defensive line get in and cause havoc? That's going to be the key. And then on top of that, can your corners do their job? Can they not be soft?
Well, and this is, I mean, this has periodically been a problem, even going back to that last year of Joe Woods, where like they're playing like Atlanta's like fifth string running back, and the guy went off for like 150 yards against you and multiple touchdowns, and you lost an inexcusable game against a bad Atlanta team. I agree that, like, you got to get home more or you've got to create more turnovers. How about you don't let Austin Ekeler and their three-headed hydra of a running back committee dust you? Because that's the other thing. The Washington run game has made Jaden Daniels' job easier because they've run all over everyone. So on one hand, people have been like, the way you beat Washington is to run all over them. On the other hand, Washington's been doing a lot of running on everybody. And what have you not been able to do? What did you? I mean, you made Zamir White look like Herschel Walker in his prime. So That, like, I'm ready. I'm like, if the Browns defense doesn't show up and shut this Washington offense down, I don't give a rat's hooey how good they are. That's not what this is about. You're also great. So be great. Because if you're not, I'm using the F word next week to describe this defense. Not that F word. Everybody looked up like I was going to say that F word. I've not said that F word on air in a while or ever. I can't remember. But no, that's where I am. Like, I'm on prove it territory. I'm on fraud alert. That's where I'm at.
So on top of the prove it and the fraud alert side of it, would you call this a gritty game in the trenches where they've got to really step up, get off the blocks faster, not be so slow to prove that they can push the offensive line and get to where they need to be?
Well, I think that is – I do think there's a catch-22 of if you bottle up the run – It's gonna make it harder for Jaden Daniels to do the thing of, I'm gonna get this ball out in 2 seconds. You can't be bad at protecting the pass, bad against the run, and still expect your pass rush to get home. like you can't. That's one dimensional football, and you become super easy to program against. So yeah, I mean, I think, like, don't show me one side of the ball this weekend. Show me all three. And if you don't, that's fine. But then all of a sudden, I'm going to be where other people are saying, well, you know what, maybe this just isn't our year. Like that. But now again, at the same time, this is a win you can't put stock into.
No, very much so. So being able to win this game defensively and do just enough with Deshaun Watson being able to get off the snide a little bit more and prove that he has earned the right to have that money, I think is going to be a huge testament to both of them.
216-474-0092. Apparently, that guy in Cleveland actually put the word defense. We should go get a defensive player. And I, semi-literate, read offense. So, apologies to our guy, that guy in Cleveland. The question we threw out to you guys is this a prove-it game for the defense? And it is way too early. It is entirely unnecessary. And yet somebody's doing it, and that leaves us to give you our first reactions on it. It totally involves your Cleveland Browns juice. Isaac, you guys stay there. 92.3 The Fan. A prove-it game for the Browns defense. They are on fraud watch because they gave up 20 points to probably one of the seven least good quarterbacks. I'm going to say least good. I'm not even going to say least anything else. It's least good. I'm going to use improper grammar to say that. But it is entirely too early. I actually, as a guy who loves these things in the proper time, where are you on mock drafts just in general in football? Do you eat them up? Do you hate them?
When it's this early, I don't eat them up at all. Okay. I take it with a grain of salt early on. Now, as we're getting closer, maybe December, January, and I start seeing these mock drafts, yeah, then I start to play into it.
So my problem is when Mel Kiper kind of first started doing those in publications, and he did them on ESPN, it was, what should they do? It wasn't predictive. And now we've gotten to an era where people want to have the most amount right. And I think it completely ruins the fun of it. The fun of it is, how well do you know the team? How well do you think that players fit in there? And instead, sometimes the draft nicks err on the side of, I want to pound my chest and say, I got 9 first round picks right and you got 8. And honestly, all that is sourcing information. It's not that impressive to me. But I agree with you on the timing of it. And
well,
go ahead.
Well, and I was going to say, when you look at this right now, there is a lot of media gurus out there that put these mock drafts together. I go with Mel Kiper all day long.
I love Trevor Sikkema. I know McShay has kind of taken a little step back after the ESPN thing, but, like, still love McShay. Like, I love the, where do you act, or how do you think the player actually fits in? But I'll be honest with you, in October. I know we're just into October. So really, it's in September. You don't know. So much of these players and whether they're draftable, I know we're gearing towards, like, okay, what are your projectables? Like, you know, what are your athletic traits? But when it comes to the football component, you know, the one that matters, what are you like as a football player? You can't tell for half of these dudes until you get halfway through the season. And when I say half, I'm talking like November. Even in November, it's super early. But we bring this up here on October 3rd with the Commanders game coming up on Sunday, the second of 3 straight road games for the Cleveland Browns, who are 1-3 and absolutely need a win so I don't have to talk about these things earlier in the season. because Yahoo Sports put out their mock draft. And I want to, it's an honest, we're not going to do the should they, shouldn't they. That's how we're doing. The question is, what's your first thought when you hear who Yahoo Sports mocked to the Browns at the fifth pick? 216-474-0092, at Nick Wilson says, Yahoo mocked Colorado quarterback Shador Sanders to the Browns at five. Your initial reaction, surface level, what's the first thing you think?
First thing is like, can't happen. I don't need to see Deion Sanders here every weekend.
My first thought is, haven't we been through enough?
Right.
And some of this is my cynicism on the kid. Like, I think he makes a lot of the splashy plays, but like, I don't know. There's just, whether it's his personality that I don't like, which is like, you know, I know the Colorado State quarterback talked him smack about that going into that game. After the game's over, just have a little class. Who cares what somebody said to you? It's over. Everybody talks trash before the game. Shut up and shake his hand and say good game. So some of this is, and honestly, some of this is, I've always thought Deion was fraudulent. Like, I, as somebody who grew up in the church, to see somebody who's claiming to be something and falling short of it because of ego and things that I really don't like, Deion frustrates me as a person. Because he should be an agent of change in college football. I don't give a damn that they're 4-1. I'll believe that that's a playoff team or a top 20 team when I see it at the end of the season. Because I think the problems start with, that dude's a little bit fraudulent. So, yeah, I don't want his kid here.
Well, before they switched over in conferences, he was in the Pac-12. I'm a huge fan of the Arizona Wildcats.
Mm-hmm.
So watching him play last year, I was like, he's okay. You know, but it's the last name. It's the Sanders side of it.
Yeah.
So you're already playing into, because it's Deion Sanders' son, you're saying, he's got to be this big-time player. Well, let's go back and say Michael Jordan's kids. They weren't Michael Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and Sanders is not Deion Sanders. Deion Sanders was a very good football player and a very good baseball player. But his son doesn't have that caliber yet. And to have him right now in the mock draft going number five to the Browns, that doesn't float with me.
So there's the natural skepticism about Deion, which again informs my skepticism about Shador, which is then informed by the ego thing that I see that is just his chip on the shoulder. And maybe that's what makes him a great athlete, by the way. Maybe that's the thing that drives him. It certainly was with Baker. That being said, I just don't see it. Like, I think the talent is obvious. It's not about the talent. It is, and I've compared this to, like, when everybody was making a big deal out of Daniel Jones when he came out of Duke. I remember saying, like, one, Duke has not been good with him. They've been like an average ACC team when the ACC blew. So you've already got that. And then two, it's so hard to evaluate a player when they don't have enough around them. And they've got, I actually disagree. I think some people think this is just Travis Hunter. No, they've got like four dudes who have like 4.29 speed. It is stupid when those guys get open down the field. In the NFL, I know Mahomes can get away with this. Do you realize how special you have to be the, what is it, the 2 seconds in cloud of dust, where you're just, everybody's running go routes? like that's basically the Colorado offense. And I know they are trying to evolve the offense. But like, it's so, when you don't have a good offensive line, and you're not backed by a good defense, you're projecting more than anything. And Shador Sanders is playing. One, he's beaten some bad teams. Sorry. Somebody has to say it. Two, I just don't like, okay, he's a great athlete. Okay, he's got a good arm. What about every other thing that a quarterback has to do? Like, he kind of reminds me of like a Kyler Murray minus, just a little bit bigger.
Well, and I think the big kicker, and you just played on it perfectly, the attributes, you know, and the intangibles of being a quarterback. I mean, if you're supposedly expecting to be a top caliber quarterback coming out in the draft, then you have to have all the intangibles, and you can't make a mistake and miss on a quarterback in the first round.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. Because again, this is not, we're not talking should they not.
Right.
That is probably a January conversation, or if this really goes poorly, like in previous years, it's like a November conversation. And I will be holding out to the last opportunity here. But I just think, like, if your problem is you don't think Deshaun can read a defense and he holds on to a ball too much, Guys, I've watched a lot of Shador. He bails on the pocket real quick. He holds on to the ball too much. And a lot of the big plays, like, I know the NFL is geared towards explosive plays now. Guys, it can't just all be hero ball. There's like a lot of nuance in the NFL. And I think that's what people miss with Mahomes. They think he's just like an air raid quarterback, or he's just like playing 500 with his friends in school. Guys, watch Pat. He does a lot of things really freaking well that allow him the opportunity to step up on a go route, or if Xavier Worthy gets, you know, gets some space at 15 yards out and put a dart there and allows a kid to make the play. I'm not saying I'm not a quarterback evaluator. So I'm not trying to act like some radio dudes know, like I know more than anyone else. I don't. I'm just saying there's a lot of holes here. And if we do get to a point in January, we're talking about quarterbacks, I have so much apprehension about bringing that mess to this mess. Like,
it's not going to drive.
Can I just get a guy with, like, at this point, you know, it's funny, man. I used to, Tom Brady bored the crap out of me as a person. He has no personality. You're seeing it in the broadcast, but no personality, no filter, no flavor, no nothing. I'll kill for it now. Like, give me a Kirk Cousins. Give me a Pat Mahomes. Give me a CJ Stroud. Give me a guy with no personality, no chip, no flavor, who's simply good at quarterbacks. That's all I want now. All right? I'm done with the bad boys. Give me a good boy. Give me a cliche machine. And Shador Sanders is not that.
No, not by any means. You don't need all that excess baggage. You know, they come rolling in to Colorado a couple years ago. It's like, it's all about prime time. It's all about Sanders and the quarterback of the future, you know, to bring the Buffaloes back. Can't happen.
That guy in Cleveland, Sanders' son, sounds like a trap player to me. Agreed. We're going to ask Pete Futek about this. I know he covers college football, but I just don't, like, people have been proclaiming this dude since last year as a number one pick, a top five pick. I do not see it. Shador Sanders, first thought, when you saw Yahoo Sports, and or maybe heard just now, that Yahoo Sports mocked Shador Sanders to the Browns with a fifth pick this year. Honestly, what was your reaction? We'll ask Pete that next on 92.3 The Fan.